तस्मै भगवते नमः।
Let us offer our respectful obeisances unto that Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose incarnations and activities are chanted by us for glorification, though he can hardly be fully known as he is. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. It is said that the transcendental name, form, quality, pastimes, paraphernalia, personality, etc., cannot possibly be perceived by the gross materialistic senses. But when the senses are purified by the process of hearing, chanting, remembering, and worshipping the lotus feet of the holy deity, etc., the Lord reveals Himself proportionately to the advancement of the quality of devotional service. Ye yathamam prapadyante. One should not expect the Lord to be an order-supplying agent who must be present before us as soon as we desire to see Him. We must be ready to undergo the prescribed devotional duties, following the path shown by the predecessors in the disciplic succession from Brahma, Narada, and similar authorities. As the senses are progressively purified by bona fide devotional service, the Lord reveals His identity according to the spiritual advancement of the devotee. But one who is not in the line of devotional service can hardly perceive Him simply by calculations and philosophical speculations. Such a hard worker can present a jugglery of words before an audience, but can never know the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His personal feature. The Lord has clearly stated in the Bhagavad Gita that one can know Him only by devotional service. No one can know the Lord by any puffed-up material process of challenge, but the humble devotee can please the Lord by his earnest devotional activities. Thus the Lord reveals Himself proportionately before the devotee. Lord Brahma therefore offers His respectful obeisances as a bona fide spiritual master and advises us to follow the process of Shravana and Kirtan. Simply by this process, or simply by hearing and chanting the glories of the activities of the Lord's incarnations, one can certainly see within himself the identity of the Lord. We have already discussed this subject in Volume 1 of Srimad Bhagavatam in connection with this verse. Touch Shadadhana munayo jnana vairagya yuktaya pasyantyatmani chatmanam bhaktyashuta grihitaya. The conclusion is that one cannot know the Supreme Personality of Godhead fully by any method, but He can be seen and felt partially by the devotional service, process of hearing, chanting, etc. In this illuminating prayer, Lord Brahma is revealing the highest truth and how to realize that truth. The ultimate truth is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. As explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, Vadanti tat tat pavitas tatvam yajgam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabjati. That the absolute truth has three essential features: the impersonal Brahman effulgence, which is the illuminating bodily rays of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. the Paramatma, who is the Lord, who has expanded himself within the material cosmos, in and between every atom, as well as the overseer of all living entities' activities, being situated in the heart of every living entity. And ultimately Bhagwan, who is Sarva Karana Karanam, the cause of all causes, who resides eternally in the spiritual world, far beyond this material existence, in the planets that are eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss, where the Lord endlessly engages in beautiful pastimes of love with his eternal associates, those devotees who have surrendered their existence utterly simply for his enjoyment. The perfection of life is to have no other desire than to be enjoyed by Krishna, the Supreme Lord. To the degree we have any separate desire to enjoy anything in any way, in any place, for ourselves, to that very same degree, Krishna keeps himself distant from us. Although Krishna is nearer than the nearest, through his diversified energies, he is everywhere and in everything. Krishna reveals himself according to our desire to serve him, to please him, to be enjoyed by him. Ye yathamam prapadyante tam stathaiva bhajamyaham. To surrender to Krishna means to surrender all conceptions other than that I am the servant of the Lord. To surrender to Krishna means to put aside all desires for our own personal interest and live simply for the satisfaction of Krishna. And to the degree we are willing to make that sacrifice, to the very same degree Krishna awards us spiritual progress and gradually reveals himself to us. The process by which we can purify our hearts of all of these anarthas, all of these unwanted desires which are motivating us birth after birth after birth to try to enjoy through a material body and material senses, is hearing and chanting the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the association of the Lord's devotees. The glorification of the Lord awakens the inner nature of the soul, and no other process can do that. Through the process of karma kanda, performing pious fruitive activities, one can certainly become higher on the level of moral principles, and thus one can incur better karma in one's life and derive much higher realms of material enjoyment, less anxieties and frustrations in life which are due to sinful activities. But such karma kanda activities do not in any way stir the soul toward the loving service of the Lord. And there is the activities of jnana kanda, by which we indulge in the speculative methods of trying to eliminate all misconceptions and understand that we are not this body, that we are the eternal soul. And through this process, we can be disentangled completely from the laws of karma. And even after many births of such efforts, we can achieve mukti, liberation from all suffering, from the repetition of birth and death for some time. But this process does not in any way awaken the natural inherent qualities of the soul to love God. And through the yogic process, we can achieve great, great powers, powers by which we can perform what the ordinary man may call miracles. And we can have tremendous power to control our minds, to control our senses. Can you imagine putting your mind on one point and it not deviating at all, even for a moment, for years and years at a time? There are yogis who can stop eating and drinking. Just by breathing from time to time, they can completely nourish their body. There we have seen yogis who just by taking a breath every day or two can derive so much nourishment from the atmosphere that years go by and they don't even lose 1 pound, not even 1 kilo. How is that? Such power, manipulation, material energy. But it does not in any way touch the soul by awakening its natural propensities. It is only through the 9 processes of devotional service, beginning with hearing and chanting, that we can awaken the eternal glory of our own soul. It is only through this process that we can approach Krishna as Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. Bhaktyamam abhijanati yavan yascha smitatvata. Krishna says only through bhakti. There is no other means. And bhakti means hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. The Mayavadis, the impersonalists, they are certainly transcendentalists. But they have no conception of the true meaning of bhakti. Therefore, they cannot truly approach the personality of Godhead. Although sometimes we find that they are worshipping Krishna or Ram or Lord Narayan, because they do not understand the actual process of achieving the aspiration of the eternal servitude of the Lord. None of their activities, which they may call bhakti, is accepted by Krishna, because it is not done with the proper consciousness. And even their process of hearing and chanting and reciting the scriptures, even reciting the pastimes of the Lord, are not accepted by Krishna, because they are not done in a mood of true devotion. They are done with other intentions. And even amongst Vaishnavas, there are many who are actually really devotees of the Lord, true devotees of the Lord. But they do not put the proper emphasis on hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. Therefore, although they may get great elevation, they do not accept, they do not receive the ultimate gift that the Supreme Lord is offering. This was revealed when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling throughout the south of India. He traveled in South India especially to give love of God in the highest form through the Sankirtan movement to everyone and anyone. Lord Chaitanya found in South India there were many Shivites who were worshipping the energies of the Lord, who were worshipping various manifestations of the Lord for liberation or material benedictions. And by the power of his preaching, he transformed them all into devotees, chanting the holy names. And he also met many, many Vaishnavas who were very much attached to worshipping the deity, to performing their duties very carefully, by adhering to particular rituals very carefully. But he pronounced to all of them, what is the Yuga Dharma? Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gati Ranjata. In the age of Kali Yuga, there is no other way, no other way, no other way, except chanting the name of Hari, chanting the name of Hari, chanting the name of Hari. Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults. The one benediction is the perfection of liberation is achieved by simply chanting the names of Krishna. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
It is certainly the easiest method, but it is also the most powerful. But this hearing and chanting process must be done in the association of those sincere devotees who have dedicated their lives to the service of the Lord. When Lord Chaitanya came to the holy place of Udupi, in Karnataka, he was very happy. Because there he went to see the beautiful, beautiful deity of Narataka Gopal, Udupi Krishna, who Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, the deity, dancing deity of Krishna. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came before this murti, in great happiness, he began to dance in ecstatic love, chanting the holy names of Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
This deity is very special. During the time of Krishna's advent into this world, when he was living in Dwarka, Krishna's mother, Devaki, she very much was thinking that she missed the best part of Krishna's life. She was thinking that she went through so many difficulties. Six of her children were killed by Kamsa in the prison cell. Her seventh child, Baladev, was transferred out of her womb to that of Rohini. And then Krishna was born to her. And she only was allowed to see him for a few minutes. Krishna explained, take me across Jamuna to Gokul and put me in the house of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. And Devaki was always very attentive from her prison cell in Mathura to receive news of Krishna's beautiful, beautiful childhood pastimes. Just recently we celebrated the month of Damodar, where every morning we would sing the beautiful, beautiful stories of Krishna as a little baby, drowning the inhabitants of Gokul in pools of ecstasy by his charm, his beauty, and his wonderful lila. How he would crawl in the ground and get himself all muddy with Braj's dirt, along with Balaram, and how Mother Yashoda would so nicely bathe him and give her milk to him to drink, to nourish him. And she would see his beautiful teeth coming in and his hair growing and his beautiful limbs gradually getting bigger and bigger as the days went by. How he killed Putana when he was just an infant child, and killed Trinavartha when he was hardly 1 year old. How he killed the demon Shakatasura by just touching with his foot. The beautiful ceremony of the name-giving of Gargamuni. How Krishna would steal the butter and the yogurt from the rafters of gopis. And how Mother Yashoda tied him to the grinding mortar and he pulled it to break the twin Arjun trees. How in the name of eating dirt he showed the whole universe to his mother within it, the mouth, his little small mouth. These pastimes of Gokul are infinite. Shukadev Goswami has just described just a tiny drop from the ocean of pastimes that he performed at every moment in Mahavan. So naturally a mother is very much attached to raising her child, especially in the earlier years. By the time Krishna came to Mathura to be with Devaki, he was already His size was like that of a 16-year-old, although he was only 12 and a half years old, because Mother Yashoda gave him milk from the best cows. He was very healthy, and his body grew very nicely. He gave all credit to Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. So one day in Dwarka, she was expressing to Krishna, I want to express my desire, that as your mother, I am feeling a great emptiness in my heart that I did not get to see you in that beautiful form of Bal Gopal. So right before his mother's eyes, he transformed himself into Bal Gopal in the mood of a makan chor, butter thief. In one hand, he was holding the churning rod for the butter. In another hand, he was holding butter along. He also had the rope for the churning. And he was in his very mischievous form as a child. And when Devaki saw this and saw him performing this wonderful leela, her ecstasy knew no bounds. The ecstasy she saw of Krishna in his Braja Leela was so greater than she had ever experienced her son before. But Rukmini happened to see this. And she was very charmed by Krishna's beautiful childhood form. Even though she loved him as Dwarkadish, the king of Dwarka, still her heart felt a special ecstasy. And she requested Krishna to construct a deity of him in this form, by which she could always worship. So this was done, and this was her Ishtadev that she would worship. And after the departure of the whole Yadu dynasty at Prabhas Chetra, gradually most all of Dwarka went under the ocean after Lord Krishna left this world. And they placed Udupi Krishna in the Gopi Thala, the kund where the Gopi Chandan is to be found. For those of you who remember, we went to Dwarka, we visited that holy place, the place where after Krishna in Mathura, when Jarasandha and Kalyavana and everyone was attacking, he was thinking, this Mathura is not a suitable place for the Yadus to live. So many armies are attacking. So one night, he just transferred. He had Vishwakarma make a beautiful, beautiful city in an island in the ocean. And he transferred. And everyone in Mathura woke up one morning and they were in Dwarka. Beautiful place, wonderful palaces, surrounded by the ocean, very protected fortress. But the gopis, they were hearing news that Krishna, the whole Mathura disappeared. Everyone's gone. Where is Krishna? So one night when they were sleeping, he transferred them. And he had built a beautiful, beautiful residence for them, just on the outskirts of Dwarka. And they woke up, and it is said that when they woke up in the middle of the night, it was very dark. And generally the gopis, they all in Vrindavan, they all stay in different homes. But they woke up and it was pitch dark and they were all in one place together. And they could not understand, where are we? What is this? So they were looking for a door. So they were groping in the dark, calling out, Dwarkaha, Dwarkaha, where is the door? So in this way they named the place Dwarka. And according to the Brijabasis, this is where the name Dwarka comes from. So then Krishna came and he had a nice leela. There was a beautiful lake he had constructed by Lord Brahma. And they had nice water sports playing in this lake. And as they would play, the dust from the feet of Radha and Krishna together made the soil, made the water a beautiful color, and settled to be the special kind of dirt on the bottom of the lake. That is called Gopi Chandan. And we are seeing it. There's about 150 people with Gopi Chandan on their foreheads and 12 parts of their body. It is all this Gopi Chandan is coming from this one lake in Dwarka. So they put the deity of Udupi Krishna in this lake, and it became mixed with the Gopi Chandan. And one day, a boatman was shipping on his boat along the ocean so many various precious articles to sell. And in order to balance the boat properly, he got some Gopi Chandan, because Gopi Chandan is mud. To a materialistic person, it's not a very valuable thing. So he got a big block of it to balance the boat nicely. And the boat, as it was sailing across the ocean, there was a very terrible storm, and the boat was about to sink. And Madhvacharya happened to be sitting on the shore of the ocean, chanting the holy names of the Lord. And the boatman saw him and prayed for this great sadhu to save him. So Madhvacharya signaled to him to come to the shore. And then with a wave of his chatter, the whole storm went away. So the man was very happy. He said, "I will give you all my wealth, all my riches. Not only did you save my fortune, you saved my life, my boat, my everything." Madhvacharya said, "I am sannyasi. What do I need your riches for? But you are coming from Dwarka. If you have some Gopi Chandan, I will take it. This I can use." So they brought this big block of Gopi Chandan, and when they brought it down, the block cracked open, and inside was Krishna. Beautiful deity of Krishna. And when Madhvacharya saw it, he offered his obeisances. And then he decided, "Let us bring it into the town of Udupi to make a temple." So many men tried to lift it, but the murti was so heavy, nobody could lift it. So Madhvacharya, who was an intimate relative of Hanuman and Bhima, he easily lifted it and put it on his shoulder and began to walk into Udupi with it, singing beautiful songs. Beautiful. Madhvacharya had a sweet voice. As far as his physical prowess, he could take on dozens of tigers and annihilate them in a moment. Whole bands of dangerous dacoits with weapons, he would just slap them all down. But that was not what he liked to do. He liked to chant the glories of Krishna. He had beautiful voice, and he recited with Krishna in his arms as he went from the ocean to Udupi. He chanted beautiful, beautiful slokas that he recited. And these are, to this very day, the most popular verses that the followers of Madhvacharya sing often every day. So he installed that deity in Udupi. And later, he entrusted the charge of the deities to his 8 principal sannyasi disciples, who to this day, they added 4 more. There are 12 mutts, and they alternate worshipping Udupi Krishna. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was in Udupi, seeing the beautiful form of Krishna, he happily danced and chanted. The Tattvavadis, who are the big, big, big pandits, scholars, and sannyasis of that place, when they saw Lord Chaitanya, because he took sannyas from Keshav Bharati in the line of Shankaracharya, they thought he was a Mayavadi. And if there's one thing that the Madhvacharya followers do not appreciate, it's Mayavadis. Madhvacharya very meticulously trained his followers to annihilate the Mayavadis, philosophically. He wrote beautiful, beautiful verses specifically showing the illusory fallacy of Mayavad philosophy. And at that time, Mayavad Shankarites were the rulers of the philosophical schools of India. And Madhvacharya traveled to various places, up and down the coasts, the inland. And wherever he would meet these people, he would challenge them to debate. And many of them became his disciples, and others ran away in fear. So he was very powerful. And the Madhvacharya line, the way the preachers and sannyasis especially are trained, their conceptions of Mayavad make us look very gentle. And we're not very gentle either. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to them to be a Mayavadi sannyasi. So they did not talk to him at all. But then when they saw him dancing and chanting, crying, the symptoms of love, they understood such ecstasy, he must be a great, great Vaishnava. So the Tattvavadis approached him. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw that they were very proud of being Vaishnavas. Now, a Vaishnav should not even be proud of being a Vaishnav. A Vaishnav should not be proud of anything except receiving Krishna's mercy. We should be proud of Krishna. We should not be proud of ourselves for anything. There is a difference. Being proud of Guru, being proud of Krishna, being proud of other devotees, that is part of devotion. But being proud that I am a devotee, this is not Lord Chaitanya's idea. We read the beautiful conversation between Kalidas and one Vaishnava. He was praising him that even if one is, because this person was born in a Shudra class, he said, I am not fit to associate with you because I am Shudra. Kalidas said, but one who is a Vaishnav is fit to deliver the whole world. He is above even the Brahmins. He said, that is true, but I am not a Vaishnav. I am not a devotee. A devotee is a great thing. Even Srila Prabhupada. One time, they asked, there was a big, big meeting, and there were so many guests, and Prabhupada was being worshipped. And one very antagonistic guest was so offended and disgusted that this person is getting worshipped. Probably because he wanted to be worshipped. He was envious. He was actually an envious person. So why you are doing like this? Why you think you're so great? Prabhupada explained. He said, these are all devotees. This is the way I am serving the devotees. This is the way my Guru Maharaj is giving me to serve these devotees. He said, I am not a devotee. To be a devotee is a very great thing. To call yourself a devotee, a Vaishnav, is such a high elevated platform. He said, I am not a devotee. But by serving these devotees, my prayer is someday I will become a devotee. We talk, oh, I am a devotee. But what is a devotee? Even the demigods are aspiring to the position of being a devotee. It is the most honored position in all the universe, in all of existence, to be a Vaishnava. Srila Prabhupada said, I am not a devotee. I am hoping by serving these devotees, someday I will become a devotee too. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that if I was a devotee, I would love Krishna. And if I love Krishna, how would I live without seeing him? The fact that I'm still breathing means I am not a devotee. Vaishnavas never think they are good. Vaishnavas are never proud. I am Vaishnava. I am learned. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw some indication within the hearts of these tattvavadis that they were very proud of being Vaishnavas, who could conquer all other philosophies. So Lord Chaitanya, very humble, with folded hands, he went to the leader of all the tattvavadis and he inquired submissively. He said, "Please tell me, what is the highest truth and how to achieve it?" And the tattvavadi leader, with great authority, quoting scriptures, explained that by following your prescribed occupational duty in Varnashram for the pleasure and the service of Krishna, one achieves liberation and goes to the spiritual world. And when Lord Chaitanya heard that, he said, "That is wrong. That is not correct." He said, "The highest path to perfection is hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord." And then Lord Chaitanya quoted Sravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smarana from Prahlad Maharaj, Sravana Kirtana Smarana Bandha Pada Sevana Dasana Pujana Sakijana Atma Nivedana. How these nine processes of devotional service, beginning with hearing and chanting, are the highest, purest summit of all religious activities. And he explained how by following your occupational duties very nicely, if you are on the material platform, you can be elevated to the heavenly planets by practicing Varnashram. If you are a devotee, by practicing Varnashram, you can be elevated to the spiritual world. But Lord Chaitanya began to quote verses from Maharaj Chitraketu that he was not attached to the spiritual world, he was not attached to the heavens, he was not attached to hell. The perfection of life is not to go to the spiritual world. The perfection of life is to have unlimited, unmotivated, uninterrupted love for Krishna and be willing to serve him anywhere and everywhere. And then he quoted that beautiful verse from Bhagavatam, that a pure devotee of the Lord rejects the five kinds of liberation. Living on the same planet, that means going back to Godhead. Living on the same planet as the Lord. Having the same opulences of the Lord. Having the same bodily features as the Lord. Being an associate of the Lord in that way, or merging into the effulgence of the Lord. A devotee doesn't care for any of those things. He only wants to serve the Lord with pure, unalloyed devotion, wherever the Lord wants him, in whatever the way the Lord wants him. This is love of God. Lord Chaitanya explained that religion, people follow Varnashram generally for artha kama dama moksha, for economic development, for religiosity, for sense gratification, or for liberation. But ultimately, pure love of God is the crest jewel of all goals. It is the ultimate religion. And then he quoted Bhagavad Gita. Sarva dharman purityaja mamikam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha yishami masaja. We should abandon all varieties of religion and surrender to Krishna. And how do we surrender to Krishna? Man manabhava madbhakto. By always remembering Krishna. And in the age of Kali Yuga, how do we always remember Krishna? By hearing his glories and chanting his holy name. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established that this is the true process. And he chastised the Tattvavadis. He says, you call yourselves Vaishnavas, but you are mixed up. It is only through hearing and chanting the glories of Krishna that one can attain that purest, highest state of pure love of God. He said, you are attached to going to the spiritual world by your varnashram. We are attached to pleasing Krishna through chanting his holy names. And the leader said, what you are saying is correct. The leader of the Tattvavadis, he said, everything you're saying is absolutely perfect according to scripture and it is correct. But our predecessors have taught this philosophy and we are within this institution so we cannot change it. So Lord Chaitanya said, there are many mistakes, but because you worship Krishna, that is good. And in this way, Lord Chaitanya established that there is no higher means of purification than hearing and chanting of the glories of the Lord. And the founder of our sampradaya, the founder, Madhvacharya Brahma, Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, Lord Brahma himself is here explaining that the glorification of the Lord through hearing and chanting his names and glories is the ultimate process, especially in this age of Kali Yuga. Varnashram is necessary. Srila Prabhupada explained, the first part of his mission was to distribute books, to build temples. He said the second part of his mission, which he wanted his disciples to fulfill, was establishment of Varnashram Dharma. But Varnashram Dharma, which is based on the foundation of hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. Our sadhana is so important. If we perform our occupational duties in proper harmony and coordination with one another according to Varnashram Dharma, then we can actually have a society of devotees who actually have a real culture, who understand how to perform their occupations in this world in perfect Krishna consciousness. Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras, they are already there, but no one knows how to be a real Brahmin, or what is a real Brahmin. Today the Brahmins are, I don't even know what they are. There are some Brahmins, but others are Brahmin by birth, very proud, I am born Brahmin. I have my thread, sacred thread, and I chant my Gayatri Mantra. But actually a Brahmin is not allowed to accept employment under anyone. A Brahmin has to be clean, truthful, learned in the scriptures, self-realized. There are so many restrictions to being a Brahmin. You have to live a very simple, pure life. You have to be a teacher of the shastras to society. Otherwise you're not a Brahmin by action. And a Kshatriya must be such a leader. He has to go up first into the battlefield and lay down his life before his soldiers if necessary. So brave, so heroic, so completely honest. A Kshatriya has to be so honest that he's willing to give his life before he speaks an untruth. How many politicians are like that today? Just to get into office today, you have to say so many lies and make up so many promises you never fulfill. There are no Kshatriyas, really. There are practically very few Brahmins. And a Vaishya, and a Shudra. Shudra means one who is so loyal to his master. Now they're all going on strike if they don't get enough pay. Huh? Bund,
right? They go on bond. You're not giving me enough money. You're not treating me nice. This is not a Shudra. Shudra is a very elevated position if you're doing it properly. A real Shudra in Vedic society. Kalo, kalo Shudra Sambhave. Now there's not even Shudras. There's not even that much integrity in the Vaishyas and the Kshatriyas and in the Brahmins. There's no integrity. So Varnashram is very important. It brings dignity and stability and purity to your life according to your occupation. But the basic principle of all of it is to be a Vaishnava. Because Vaishnava is transcendental. As far as keeping our lives stable in Krishna's service, Varnashram is very important. But the essence is a devotee, even if he's acting as a Shudra or a Vaishya or a Kshatriya, he's higher than a Brahman if he's chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. In this way, Varnashram is external, but is important, must be established. And Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas, these are also externals. But Sannyasis must live as Sannyasis. And Brahmacharis have to know how to live as a Brahmachari. Not that I'm a Brahmachari, but I go where I want, and I do what I want, and I eat what I want, and I say what I want, but I put on my saffron, and I'm a Brahmachari. And you should give me some bakshish. That is not Brahmachari. Brahmachari means strict training, living in the ashram of Guru, living very simple, being very rigorous in one sadhana. That is Brahmachari. Now what is a Grihastha? To be a Grihastha in today's society, so rare, there's hardly a one. Grihastha means very pure, Krishna completely in the center of your life, very charitable, giving up sinful activities, giving up wasting your time with all nonsense things. Grihastha is a very elevated position. And a Vanaprastha. So Varnashram is there. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he did not reject the Varnashram system. But it has to be based, situated. The whole Varnashram system has to be established on pure devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that pure devotion is only possible through the process of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, in the association of devotees and chanting Krishna's name.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And this is our most sacred duty, to establish this wonderful Krishna-conscious society as Srila Prabhupada has envisioned and directed us to do. And it is very wonderful how, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, that here at Radha Gopinath Mandir, the Varnashram environment is developing very nicely, where people are taking their particular occupations very seriously. Grihasthas are responsible in society, making honest living in their occupation, raising beautiful families, training the children to be Krishna conscious, utilizing what they have not only to make their family Krishna conscious, but to assist to make the whole city and the whole world Krishna conscious, in whatever way we can. How the Brahmacharis are living very simple, striving to live very exemplary. In this way, what brings it all together in such a beautiful way, how all the varnas and all the ashrams come together as one body of persons to chant Krishna's names. Because we do not judge, you are grihasta, you are brahmachari, you are a businessman and you are a simple worker. These things, devotees never calculate like this. We see, yes, they are performing their duties and this is very good, but they have devotion to Krishna. They are chanting the holy name of Krishna. Therefore they are glorious. And when we come together in Srimad Bhagavatam class or in the kirtan of the holy name, we simply see each other as devotees. There's no discrimination, there's no partiality. And in this way, the fulfillment of this wonderful mission will be achieved. And this is what Lord Brahma is herein explaining. We all must work, as Krishna told Arjuna, but we must always think of him. And to think of Krishna always can only be done with a pure heart, free of envy, pride, greed or lust, anger or illusion. And the purity of the heart comes by very attentively and sincerely hearing Krishna's teachings, Krishna's pastimes, and by very attentively and diligently chanting his holy names. Is there any questions? Yes.
Here in the purport, Prabhupada writes, simply by this process, or simply by hearing and chanting the glories of the activities of the Lord's incarnation, one can certainly see within himself the identity of the Lord. So this see within himself the identity of the Lord means he sees himself as the part and parcel of the Lord, or he sees Paramatma within himself.
He sees what Krishna reveals to him. We are part and parcel of the Lord. The mystic yogis, by purification through their process, sometimes they see Paramatma. But they start thinking, that's me. Look at how I have these beautiful four arms holding holding conch shells and disc chakras and clubs and lotuses. This is my original form. And they think that they are God. That is a danger. Unless we have a proper spiritual master to teach us, we must understand we are part and parcel of the Lord. We are the eternal servant of the Lord. And if we realize the Lord within our heart, the Paramatma, under the direction of pure devotees, then when Krishna reveals himself in this wonderful, beautiful feature, we surrender to him in love. Does that answer your question?
Krishna's pastimes are eternal, but how is it that Krishna's father and mother were great yogis, and by performing great austerities they become Krishna's father and mother? Krishna's pastimes are eternal. Now how is it that Krishna's father and mother became his father and mother by performing great austerities? Or
no one is Krishna's father and mother. as you know a father and mother. Actually, the soul is eternal. Who is the father and mother for your soul? Due to your karma, your soul comes into the womb, comes into a body of a man, and then it's injected into the body of a woman, and then it comes out. So they didn't create you. Your soul existed always. It's just going into a place and coming out of a place and developing a particular body according to the modes of material nature. So therefore Krishna says, Aham Bija Pratapita. He is the ultimate, only real father and mother for everyone, because all souls are emanating from him. Janma Jishayataha. So Krishna is the origin of everything. But for the sake of having loving relations with his devotees, he permits his devotees to have various relationships with him. In the spiritual world, Nanda and Yashoda are eternally his mother and father. But he doesn't take birth from them. They are expansions of himself. Yashoda, when Radharani, who is none different than Krishna, Radha and Krishna are one person who expand themselves in two for the sake of exchanging ecstatic love. And when Yashoda wants to love Krishna in motherly love, she becomes Mother Yashoda. Eternally. So it's actually Krishna himself, loving himself through his own expansions. It is called lila, pastimes. And when Krishna comes into this world, he appears through the bodies of people as his pastime. Krishna entered into the mind of Vasudeva, and then through the mind of Vasudeva, he was transferred to the heart of Devaki. And from the heart of Devaki, he entered into her womb. And when it came time for him to be born, it was just a couple weeks after Balaram was born, he just appeared outside of her womb. She didn't have labor pains or any of these terrible crises that women go through. You see, Matajis, they can hardly walk because they're pregnant, and they have to go, always going to the gynecologist to see, is it all right? What should I do? When should I go to the hospital? They need all kinds of caretakers and nurses and doctors. Sometimes there's complications and they need surgeries. Not like that. Devaki was just effulgent, happy. All the demigods were worshipping her. And then Krishna just appeared outside of her womb in his forearm form. And then on her request, he became a baby. That is Krishna. So when we read about how in previous lives, great personalities performed austerity to become Krishna's mother and father, that means that great devotees in this world, they can achieve that post of having that type of loving relationship with Krishna in this world. Actually, Nanda and Yashoda are the eternal associates of the Lord in the spiritual world. They descend with Krishna into this world. And those personalities who perform great tapasya in this world, who become Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, they actually merge into the body of Nanda and Yashoda to actually enjoy that same ecstatic loving pastime in this world. Krishna gives them that opportunity. Does that answer your question? Yes, one more question.
Maharaj, Pandavas in the battlefield of Mahabharata, they fought for their right for kingdom. But many materialistic people, they argue, actually they were not Pandu Putras. Pandu was cursed. If he touches any any of his wife, he will die. And this, all Pandavas, they were born from different demigods. So actually though they had no right on kingdom. So how to answer?
What does this have to do with the class that we're speaking? Is there some connection? No? What? Shamananda says no connection. Who are you to say who is who? You are saying they are not Panduputra. Huh? But Krishna says they are Panduputra. So should I believe Krishna or you? Huh? They were the sons of Pandu because Kunti was the only wife of Pandu. Not the Madri and Kunti. Kunti was the wife of Pandu. And because she was chaste and faithful, always serving her husband, and it was on her husband's order that she invited the various demigods to come and impregnate. It was on his instruction to his chaste and faithful wife. And in their earliest childhood, they were personally raised by him. So he was father. Through their childhood, he personally took care of them. So according to Krishna's, and according to the tradition of the Kurus, they were the bona fide sons of Pandu, who were meant to take the throne. If you were to lodge this complaint at that time, you would have been executed. But because we're not a Kshatriya movement, we're a Brahmin movement, we will forgive you and tell you you better chant Hare Krishna. See the Prabhupada key.